you guys can be seated.
He is my rock, my shield, my fortress. He's my salvation and my strength. The cords of death, they were surrounding me, but he heard my cry for help. He is my refuge, my high tower. He's my deliverer, so strong. The snares of death, they were confronting me, but he heard.
We say,
so I'll stand and trust, I'll stand in faith, Lord, I will not be shaken. So I'll stand and trust, I'll stand.
Have all the ladies sing this first verse.
He is my rock, my shield, my fortress.
Yes.
He's my salvation and my strength. The cords of death, they were surrounding.
But he heard. Sing this verse with me. Say,
he is my refuge, my high tower.
Yes.
He's my deliverer, so strong.
My God, my God.
The snares of death, they were come from.
But everybody, let's sing it together. Say,
but he heard.
Yes, he did. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So I'll stand and trust you, Lord. I'll stand and faith, my Lord. And I will not be shaken. So I'll stand.
I will trust you, Lord. Let it be, Lord, let it be. Our God, we say tonight.
Our God will not be moved. Our God will never change. Our God will reign for us.
That's you, my Lord. That's you, my God.
Oh, our God will,
no matter what, no matter what.
Our God will never change. Our God.
Like there's a cry in our hearts tonight that declares our God will not be moved, no matter what, will not be. Oh, come on, sing it again, say it right now.
Our God will not be moved.
Come on,
our God.
stand, last one. So I stand in trust. I'll stand in faith, and I will not be shaken. So I stand in trust. I'll stand in faith, and I will not be shaken.
We love you, Lord.
Sing that tonight. Our God is here. And when he shows up, he's unmovable. He's unshakable. He's our firm foundation today. Lord, I know there's a lot of shaky things in our hearts and in our worlds today. But our God will not be moved. Our God will not be changed. His love for you and I is steadfast and true. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You guys can be seated again. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his His hands, His my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, let's sing together. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. We say, oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ. Where is your sting? The angel.
Today is a beautiful day of celebration. A day to honor the women who've shaped us, nurtured us, and walked us through life. It's a day to say thanks to all the moms. Moms with toddlers tearing through the house, and moms whose babies have moved away. Moms who are doing this all by themselves, and moms who loved a child in need. Moms who have suffered unimaginable loss, and moms whose children are moms themselves. For all the times your love made things better, and the moments your wisdom made things clear, for the way you lived as an example, so we could see Jesus through you, for each and every memory that has lit the path we walk, we say thank you. Whether this is a day of celebration, reflection, or heartache, know that you are loved. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, let me be the first to officially say on this weekend to all the moms, biological, spiritual caretakers, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. May you be blessed and feel loved and appreciated. We do love you. So thank you so much for being a part of our lives, moms. Happy Mother's Day to you. And again, my name is Marvin, and great to welcome each and every one of you here today. We especially love to welcome those that are with us for the first time. So if you are new, if you are visiting, thank you so much. You can help us to get to know you a little bit by filling out the connection card. That's the card that is in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that connection card, fill that out. Someone on our staff will call you. And if you are joining us online, I want to say welcome to you as well. Well, a few announcements for you. One that I'm particularly excited about is the Men's Contend Conference happening this weekend, guys. This Friday and Saturday, we are going to be having a blast right here on our campus, Friday night and Saturday. Guys, if you have not yet registered, let me give you one final encouragement, one final invitation. Please come and be with us this Friday and Saturday, May 19th and 20th. We are going to have a guest speaker in Tim Chaddick. He's going to be joining us on Saturday. Friday night, we actually have a really fun panel discussion on the theme of biblical masculinity. We're going to be hearing from Mark, Tom, Tommy, Albert, and others. And so we're just excited for that time. We have breakout sessions on themes like marriage, stewarding your career opportunities, our sexual integrity, all kinds of other great breakout topics. So guys, join me, join other men this weekend for the Men's Contend Conference. Excited for that. You can get some more information out in the lobby. Another exciting opportunity is the Foster Care Awareness Event. This is where we get an opportunity to learn more about the foster care crisis happening around us here in our county, in Los Angeles County, and how we as a church are choosing to pray and to respond into this crisis. And so there are opportunities for you to get involved, and we'll tell you more about that at this Foster Care Awareness Event. We have a multi-ethnic learning community, and this is a community that meets once a month to live out the biblical values of discipleship, reconciliation, community, and justice. They're going to be meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m., so join them, the multi-ethnic learning community. And the baptism class is happening on May 21st. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've trusted Jesus with your life as your Lord and Savior, Scripture teaches us that the very next thing we ought to do is to be baptized. And so come learn more about what that looks like on May 21st. The baptism weekend is going to happen on June 10th and 11th. And so we'd love to invite you to be a part of that time as well. At this time, we're going to continue on in our worship as we have been through the singing of songs. We now get to worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Before I call our ushers forward, let me read some scripture over us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Would you join me in prayer? So, Lord, we thank you that we get to worship you through the giving of our tithes and offerings, through the singing of songs, through all the different ways that we worship you, Lord. But would you bless this time in specific right now, Lord? Father, we even thinking about our weekend upcoming with the men, we just pray that it would be a blessed time, Lord, that your Spirit would be moving in our midst. Would you be transforming lives, restoring marriages, and causing us to come closer to you, Father? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if you're a visitor guest, what a joy to have you here. My name is Tom, and it's an honor and privilege to have you. Of course, to my CA family, great to be with you as well, whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us online. If you're a visitor online, great to be with you as well. And to all the moms that are with us, want to add my happy Mother's Day to you. Thanks for all that you do to love and serve us well. Well, we have been in a series that we've entitled Running with the Giants. And really the theme verse for the series comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Each one of us has a race to run, and we want to run it with some of the giants in the faith. And so each week we're pulling out kind of from the pages of Scripture someone from the Bible, and we're looking at what God taught them then that built their faith then that will help us grow our faith now. And this week we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I'm assuming you've probably heard the Christmas story. The angel Gabriel comes to a virgin named Mary and telling her that though she is a virgin, she will conceive and she is to name her son Jesus, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, I think we can all agree that that is not an everyday occurrence, right? In fact, that's only one time in history occurrence. You have this immaculate conception. It isn't normal. And people back then would have rightly asked questions. They would have had doubts about Mary's story. They maybe even would have had suspicions and talked about it. Mary herself, you know, is probably thinking, well, how am I going to explain this to Joseph, to whom she was betrothed? But Mary has an encounter with God who asks her to do something that is outside the normal, outside of her comfort zone. And so she's going to give us a few lessons for how we can handle it when God asks us to do something outside of our comfort zone as well. And we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So, Lord, I just add my prayers to those that have already been prayed for the men's conference. And Lord, we're so excited to gather together with all the men that are coming. I pray, Lord, you'd gather even more that are on the fence to come and be with us. And Lord, as we gather, most of what we want is to have time with you. And so we ask, God, that you would speak to our men as we gather Friday night and Saturday morning. But Lord, we don't have to wait till then to hear from you. We can hear from you even right now from your word. And so as we gather, both online and in person now, we ask that you would speak to us from Mary's story. Lord, that we would find the lessons that you want us to know about the times when you ask us to step outside of our comfort zone, to do something that might make us feel like, this is outside of the normal. How do I handle this? God, we know that your word is living and active, and we ask that you would speak now through it to our hearts, make our hearts open to you, in our mind and our will as well, that it might bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to the center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that we will be filling out, you can fill out as we go throughout our time together. And if you're online, the notes are available at cachurch.com. Really, in many ways, each time we gather each weekend, my prayer for us and our times together on the weekends is to have an undistracted time to meet with God. I believe 75 minutes with Christian Assembly will do you good, but one moment with God will do you much better. One moment where you realize that you're connecting to God, that God is speaking to you. And each week as I pray for us and I prepare these messages, and others on the teaching team do as well, we pray that you wouldn't just hear a sermon or a message from us, but that you would hear God's word, and that God would, by his Spirit, apply his word to you in your unique circumstances, in your unique life, that you would encounter him from his word and Spirit. I think what Mary would say to us is, I had my experience, she would say, and it was pretty strange. But I'm convinced, excuse me, that Mary would say this: don't miss your moment with God. Don't miss your moment with God. God is actively wanting and trying to speak to and meet with you through worship, through his word, a key friendship, through a tragedy or an opportunity, a time of prayer. God is reaching, even in those moments, to you and to me. It will come in a variety of ways. For Mary, it came in the form of an angel who appeared to her. For Moses, it was a burning bush. God rarely does it the same way twice. But make no mistake about it, for every single one of you, both online and here in person, God is trying to have a moment with you. And I think Mary would want to teach us a few things about God moments. The first thing I think she'd want to teach us about God moments is this, is that God moments often seem impossible. God's going to come along and say to you, I've got a challenge for you. I've got a task for you, something I want to get into your life or something I want you to get out of your life. I've got a direction for you. I have something I want to heal you of. I have something that I want to change in your heart. And our first thought is, I don't think so, God. I don't even understand how that could happen. For a lot of us, at least I would say, at least for me, but I know many others as well, we kind of stiff arm God a little bit and say, like, I think, I don't even understand how it could work, but I think you're asking too much of me. Look at Mary's story. The angel shows up and says in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and on, it says, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then look at what Mary says in verse 34. Mary says to the angel, how can this even be since I'm a virgin? She says what all of us would say. I don't even get it. I don't even understand how what you're saying could even be remotely possible. You know, the great danger I think many of us will face in our God moments is that we want God to fit into our understanding and our logic. I'd like to think that I'm a logical guy. I like to think I'm a reasonable guy. I like data and facts and strategy and analytics and reason as much as anybody else. And that's all well and good, but it comes with a danger. And here's the danger. When my God moments come, when your God moments come, I can be tempted to think, before I obey it, I need to be able to wrap my mind around it. How's this all going to work? How's it all going to play out? What's it all going to look like? I need to understand it all before I take the first step. And here's the problem with that. If I can understand it all, then now I have shrunk God down to the size of me, which is pretty small. If God is God, and I am me, and if you are you, then God is going to tell you some things that you don't fully understand. You can't fully wrap your mind around it. You can't fully explain it. You can't fully predict how it's all going to unfold. But at the end of my life, I'm not hoping that God will say to me, well done, good and fully understanding servant. That's not what I'm hoping he will say, right? I'm hoping and I want to hear, well done, good and faithful. Full of faith, full of the willingness to trust my word and trust what I'm saying and trust my capacity to do things that you can't understand because of your limitations, not because of my limitations. In fact, Jesus was teaching one day and the teaching seemed hard to understand. Hard teaching to the crowd to make sense of, to understand it. And this is what Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. So Jesus gives a teaching and everybody's like, we can't even understand it. He's like, yeah, I understand that you can't understand it because you're human. And this teaching is impossible if it just relies on your capacity. But with God, all things are possible. Your God moments, when they come, your God moments, my God moments often seem impossible. The second thing I think Mary would say is this: when God moments come, let your hope count more than your questions. Think about all the questions that Mary must have had. I mean, she would have to go and face her family and friends, knowing that they would say, yeah, you and Joseph have been fooling around before you got married. She'd have to face Joseph. I mean, she certainly had questions about, how am I even going to explain this? And she knew what his natural response would be: who have you been messing around with, right? She would have to face the religious leaders of the day, who, according to the law of that day, she'd be dragged out into the street and she'd be stoned to death. Talk about fears. Talk about questions. Talk about concerns. And all of this comes from a moment that God initiated. Mary did not initiate this. God initiated it. This was a God moment. It's tough sometimes. It's not always easy to trust, is it? Notice what Mary says to the angel. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Notice she's not counting on her ability to explain this to everybody. She's not even counting on her ability to understand it all. She's counting on God's word and his capacity to do what he's promised to do. When your God moment comes, your job isn't necessarily to understand how it'll all unfold. Your job is simply to activate your faith and say yes to God's word. It reminds me of a story in the Gospels where a leader named Jairus came to Jesus, and he comes because his child is sick, and he wants Jesus to come with him and go and heal his sick child like any parent would want. And Jesus says, well, let's go. And along the way, while they're headed there, a crowd is around them, but a woman presses through the crowd, and she has a bleeding issue of 12 years, and she comes to Jesus, and Jesus stops on his way to Jairus' house, and he spends time with this woman, getting this woman healed. And in Jairus' mind, the scriptures don't say this, but in Jairus' mind, he's got to be watching Jesus slow down to help this woman, and he's got to be thinking, Jesus, let's go. My kid is going to die if we don't get there. And then his worst fears happen. And someone comes from the house, they meet Jairus, and they say, Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Then we pick up the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, that was Jairus, he said, do not be afraid, just believe. Now in that moment, Jairus is having a God moment. I'm confident that Jairus could not explain everything that was about to happen. Can I tell you something? That with Jesus, it's never too late. It's never too late. Jesus goes and he raises Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. When your God moment comes, always let your hope and trust in God count more than your questions. The third lesson I think we get from Mary's story is this, is that your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. Not long after the encounter with the angel, Mary, she leaves Nazareth. And we don't know exactly why she does this, but I would imagine that maybe some of it is she knows that the ridicule is going to happen. So she leaves town and she goes and she visits her relative, Elizabeth. And Mary enters the house. She greets Elizabeth. And here's what we're told happens next in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 and on. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, because Elizabeth was pregnant as well with who would be John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed, here it is she who believed. Not who could fully explain, not who was able to predict how it was all going to unfold. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. God has a blessing for you on the other side of your obedience. How many times did Elizabeth say in that passage, filled with the Holy Spirit, blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed are you because you believed what God said. Let me ask you, what blessing does God have for you that will only be unlocked on the other side of your obedience? Some of you know my story. Others of you are newer to the church, so you don't know it. But coming out of college, I had the opportunity to go to law school. But in a series of God moments, God made it crystal clear to me that he wanted me to serve him, not as an attorney or as a judge, but as a pastor. And I remember clearly how hard the day was when I packed up a yellow Penske truck and moved from all of my biological family just to go where God wanted me to go and do what I believe God was wanting me to do. So I moved from Pittsburgh and drove 12 hours south to Charleston, South Carolina, to a small church with 80 adults in attendance to start a youth group with four kids and a church that had never had a student ministries. And it was scary. It was hard. Left my family. Allison and I were dating. We're not yet married, but we got married a couple months after I moved. We were engaged at that time, but got married a couple months after I had moved down there. And after a time there, God blessed that step of obedience in these unbelievable ways. What started with a group of four, 4 years later, we had 400 students every week. Middle school, high school, even college students as well. It was insane what was going on. But in another God moment, I went up to take communion at a church on a Wednesday night. Different church. I just went there to decompress and worship God. And I go up to take communion. They had you come up front. And the guy says to me, God is speaking to me about you. After I give you communion, can I talk with you? So he gives me the communion. I receive communion. I go to the back of the church. The guy who said that was the new senior pastor of this church. And during the final song, he walked to the very back and shared what he said. God gave me a prophetic word about your life. And he shared what it was. And I remember thinking, like, this is insane. I can't even understand how this will work. Well, through a series of conversations sparked by that God moment and that prophetic word, I quit my job and moved to England to learn from a church that was meeting in a nightclub. 2,000 people in a nightclub, 80% under the age of 40, doing all sorts of great work with young adults, rescuing heroin addicts off the streets of Sheffield. They didn't pay me. I didn't have any way to make any money. I'm just like, well, I think this is what God's calling us to do. Allison quit her job. I quit my job. Took a step of faith. I was like, this is what God's calling me to do. And seven of my friends were like, I'm going to quit my job too, and we're going to come with you. And this really has happened. Like this, so they all quit their jobs, and we moved to England, and none of us had any money, and we just kind of like, we're trusting God day by day. That step of faith was contagious. That step of faith was contagious. You know, fear is contagious, but so is faith. And all of the people that took that step of faith with me, they're all leading churches around the country right now, either as worship pastors or as senior pastors of churches. But we were all 20-somethings not knowing what we're doing. We're going to move to England and just see what God does. And God did this amazing thing. Then God, when I was there, I had another God moment where I got up to speak. 9/11 happened while we were in England. And they're like, let's have the American guy speak. And so I got up to speak after 9/11 to a packed nightclub that had been turned into a church because they said, we have an American who's going to speak. And I talked about the gospel because that's the most important thing that was happening. Isn't 9/11 as much as we grieve the lives that were lost? The most important thing that is always happening on planet Earth is the gospel. And so I shared the gospel. After that, a woman came up to me. It was a couple days later, actually. She saw me in a grocery store, and she said, when you got up to speak, I saw this word over your head. And the word was fuller. I think you're somehow connected to Fuller Theological Seminary, which I think is in California somewhere. I've never been there, but I've heard of it. I think you're connected to that. She didn't know that Alice and I were praying about moving to LA to go to Fuller Theological Seminary, and that was the final piece we needed. We're like, well, we think God is saying he wants us to... We were already trending that direction. We thought that's what the Lord was saying. But I'm like, Lord, would you please confirm it? I'm like, okay, the random woman in England telling me, yeah, that counts as confirmation. And we came to Fuller. I did my Master's of Divinity at Fuller. And a neighbor invited us to come to Christian Assembly. That's how I got into this church. I've been part of this church for a little over a year before I ever came on staff. We literally, when we moved to LA, we did not know a soul in LA. We didn't know a soul, not one. And as Allison and I sold our condo in South Carolina, we drove across the country. She and I often spoke to one another about what Jesus promises us. He says this, Jesus said, truly I tell you, there is no one who's left a house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake or for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Back in Pittsburgh, I left two sisters and a mom and a dad. Allison left her sister, her brothers, a mom and a dad. And I'll be honest, it's not always been easy, but it has always been good. And I can tell you, that I left a family of four, but God has blessed me with a family of thousands here in LA. That's what God did with a God moment. So many of you, you've become brothers and sisters and spiritual moms and dads and aunts and uncles to me. You are the blessing to me and to Allison on the other side of our obedience to say, all right, Lord, I don't know a soul in LA, but here we go. Here we go, God. Whatever you want to do, we're here for however long you want us to be here. We're here, God, whatever you want to do. And I look back over all the things that God has done, and I'm just like, my mind is just blown at what God has done. I remember when I was younger, part of the reason I wanted to be an attorney or be a judge is I thought it would allow me to earn, you know, a fair bit of income to be able to do traveling. And for so whatever reason, from the youngest of ages, I had always had an interest in people from different backgrounds and different cultures. And in fact, one of my undergrad degrees is in sociology and anthropology. So just always, it just always has been an interest to me. I don't even know why. It just always has been there. And I had this moment whenever God was crystal clear calling me to be a pastor. From 1 Timothy 1:12, I've counted you faithful, therefore placing you into ministry. That was God's word. Okay, God, I know that you're saying this. And I remember thinking at the time, well, I guess I'm going to have to give up my dream of traveling, and I guess I'm going to like not meet people from many different cultures because I didn't know even exactly what it meant to be a pastor. Nobody in my family had ever been a pastor. It wasn't like I came from a long line of pastors. My dad made Oreos for a living. Like, thank God for Nabisco and Oreos, right? I said, all right, God, I'm just going to trust you. And if I don't travel, I don't travel. And it might sound dumb to you now. It probably was dumb, to be honest. But looking back, I thought I was giving up traveling. And I was willing to do that. But little did I know, all the places that God would take me on the other side of my willingness to put my desire to travel on the altar, to trust him. I have been to so many countries, I can't even keep track of them. Some of the countries I've been to, I could not find them on a world map before I got invited to go there and lead and speak and teach leaders there. And it's not just that I've been to those places. I've seen God at work in an astonishing number of cultures and people groups. And the fact is not lost on Allison or myself that God has planted us here in LA where I don't even have to get on a plane to meet somebody from the far corners of the earth, right? I mean, every day in LA, there's an opportunity to meet somebody who's not my ethnicity, didn't grow up in the culture that I grew up. I get to learn and eat foods that I didn't even know they existed growing up in Pittsburgh, and they're amazing, and they're some of my favorites now. God knew what he put in me, and he knew that there was a blessing on the other side of my obedience. The same is true for you. Some of you, you hesitate to say yes to God because you're like, well, I don't understand how it all works, and I don't know where this is all leading, and I don't know what it's all going to look like, and I don't know, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. Like growing up in Pittsburgh, when I said yes to God, at no point did I say, and then he'll have me stand on the Hollywood Bowl and preach to 18,000 people. Like that was never in my mind of what God would do. What would God do with your life if you would say yes to him in your God moment? What is the blessing that God has for you on the other side of your obedience? Some of you I know are new Christians. Some of you I know are investigating faith. Listen to me for a moment if that's you. What I can tell you is that now, when God asks me to do something, I'm just up for it. Why? Because I have a long track record with him. I've seen what God does whenever I say yes to the things that I can't fully understand and I can't really wrap my head around how it's all going to work, but it's in accordance with his word and what his spirit is speaking to me. Fast forward Mary's story 30 years or so. They're at a wedding in Cana. The people have run out of wine. This is a major, major social humiliation. This is one that they would never live down. It'd be like throwing a wedding reception in our culture and inviting everybody for dinner and then realizing we don't have any food. We ran out of food. There's no food. Like now, people wouldn't be like, wow, that was a great wedding. It would be like, that's the wedding where they ran out of food. That's what this would be like, right? For the rest of your life, if you were that couple, you'd be the couple that ran out of wine. You'd be the couple that it's like, oh, that's the couple that ran out of wine. Mary brings the wedding staff to Jesus because she knows they've run out of wine. And she just says these words in John chapter 2, verse 5 to the wedding staff. He says, she points to Jesus and says, whatever he says, do it. Before Nike, Mary, whatever he says, just do it. Why? Because she's been around Jesus long enough to know that he might tell them to do something that they don't understand and it doesn't make sense to them and they don't know how it's all going to work out and they're kind of trying to figure it out, but that it will be good once it's all said and done. Jesus tells them to fill up huge jugs of water. He then takes the water, he turns the water into wine. He saves the couple from a social disaster. The staff take the wine to the master of the ceremonies. John tells us in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, when the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. Says, a host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when people have had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. Do you see what happened in that story? A God moment took normal water and turned it not into wine, but into the best wine. A God moment with you can take the normal water of your life and not turn it into something good, but to the very best that you could ever imagine. The richest, the most abundant, the most fruitful life that God has for you is waiting for you on the other side of your yes and your God moment. Let's imagine Mary's been running a lap with us in our race of life, and she's about to run back up into the stands to cheer us on. And I think she'd leave us with four little phrases of encouragement. The first thing she would say is this: stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. Listen to me. You've got to cultivate space for God moments because God wants to speak with you. How do we do it? Well, let me boil it down to one word: worship. Worship. Remember the Christmas story? The shepherds show up. They tell Mary and Joseph all the things that the angels told them about the baby Jesus. And what did Mary do in Luke chapter 1, verse 19? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I didn't even know that Zoe had written that song. I didn't even know anything about the lyrics of that song. But can you hear in the lyrics of that song that she's saying, let me meditate and remember all the ways you've already led me when I don't understand where you're leading me? All the ways you've been good to me when I don't even understand what you're doing right now. Like, we didn't plan this. We're not that crafty. We're not that good. Honestly, we're not that organized. So, so there's a sense where God is even saying, hey, listen, did you hear me saying this through the song? And now do you hear me saying this? Stay connected to God. Jesus grew up and told us the same thing. Stay connected to God and to Christ. And John 15, verse 5 says, when you've joined with me and I with you, it's from the Message translation, the relationship becomes intimate and organic. The harvest is then sure to be abundant. Separated from me, you can't produce a thing. So stay connected to God. I think she'd say stay connected to your purpose. Mary and Joseph take Jesus as a baby to the temple to be dedicated, which is one of the reasons why, by the way, that we do baby dedications here as well. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 23, chapter 2, verse 34 and on, it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. They have a God moment when they bring Jesus to be dedicated as a baby. You got to stay connected to your purpose. Some of you, you know your purpose and you're doing it, and I want you to hear, way to go, and keep doing it. Sometimes your purpose is a long obedience in the same direction. So you don't need to like find a new purpose every 6 months. Sometimes you just need to say, no, I know what God's purpose is for me, and I'm going to continue to pursue that purpose. Others of you, you know your purpose, but if you're honest and you tell me this, you've gotten sidetracked on things that won't matter in the long run. And this is your call to get back on track with your God-given purpose. And still others of you, if you're honest, you might say, I have no idea what my God-given purpose is. I don't even know why I'm on planet Earth. And if that's you, we want to help you in that process from God's word. That's part of the reason we do that class, partnership, where we talk about grace and worship and family and kingdom. And whatever the purpose is that God is putting you on planet Earth for, it falls under those core values of God's word for you to discover that and know it. I think Mary would also say this: stay connected to the people who encourage you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, then returned home. One of the best things Mary did was stayed connected to the people who encouraged her. When I shared that I was considering being a pastor, my parents, they thought I was nuts. They didn't just think I was nuts. They thought I was throwing my life away. My mom yelled at me, God gave you a brain. Why would you waste it as a pastor? The list goes on. Later in my life, they came around to see God's blessing on my life, but initially they were angry. So I honored them in all the ways that I could, but I stayed connected to the people who encouraged me into God's call on my life. Allison was one of them. I had an old youth pastor named Jerry who was another. I had some other mentors in my life. I want to encourage you. Who do you need to stay connected to that is encouraging you in alignment with your God-given purpose? Get in a life group that will encourage you into the things of God in your life. And don't just look for people to encourage you, right? Don't just have it be like, encourage me. Somebody encourage me. Please encourage me. Like, sometimes we need to mature enough where it's like, now it's my turn to encourage someone else. I need to grow up enough that it's like, I'm not just only looking for people to encourage me. Who can I encourage in their God-given assignment? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then finally, I think Mary would say, stay connected to the bigger picture. John 19, verse 25 and on, message paraphrase, it says, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, stood at the foot of the cross. And Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, and he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. Put yourself for a moment in Mary's shoes. Any parent here, mom or dad, you know you would take the pain away from your child in a moment if you could. That doesn't make you a great parent. That just makes you a normal parent. Any parent would do that. How could Mary endure this? I mean, she's watching Jesus dying on the cross. How did she endure it? Because she stayed connected to the bigger picture. She understood that her son had come to die, to save us from our sins. And she would soon see the bigger picture that she could not understand. She has to be there saying, this, God, this is why you brought Jesus into my womb? This is what you're doing? She couldn't fully understand what was going on, though she knew he was destined to die for our sins. But 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. 10 days after that, the day of Pentecost, which is coming up in 2 weekends, happened, where Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit upon his disciples, and the church was born. Why? To make disciples from every nation that will one day gather around the throne of God in the new heaven and the new earth, the redeemed humanity. Listen to me. If you think that this earth is what all of this is about, you're wrong. One day you are going to die. And I am too. In fact, this week I did a graveside service for someone. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Don't forget the bigger picture. This world isn't the full and final sum of our story. We're not here to live here. We're here to live here the days that God gives us to make a difference and let his glory be known and grow in faith to one day go and be there until he renews the earth and we live forever together with his redeemed people. Church, if you stay connected to God and the bigger picture, no matter the ups and downs of this world, you're going to be just fine. Let's pray. If you've been around, you know that I close every single message I've ever done with a chance for you to reflect and pray. Why? Because I'm trying to help you have a God moment. And some of us miss these moments because we start thinking about other things. What we're going to have for dinner, or lunch, or what else we got to do this week. And honestly, I think the best part of the service is right now. When you've heard the word of God, and now you have a moment to speak with God. Don't miss your God moment. Maybe your God moment is you're far from God. Maybe you've never known him, or maybe you did, and you walked away, and you've been wandering. And your God moment is for you to hear God say, "Come back to me," or for the very first time for him to call you. Give your life to me. Trust that I have good plans for your life. Trust that I have an abundant, blessed life on the other side of your obedient yes. trust that I will give you new life. I gave my life for you, and my purpose is for you. Now you give your life to me. And for some of you, for the very first time, you need to say yes to him. You need to stop worrying about, well, what if I say yes and I can't understand, and what is he, and who knows, and how does that work? Just trust his goodness. And if you're saying yes to him, your very next step is to get baptized. Others of you, your God moment is this. You need to ask God for a purpose for your life that is bigger than you. What is it, God? Why does God have you on this earth? Do you know? And if you already know, use this as a moment for you to renew your commitment to stay connected to your God-given purpose. To say yes again. God, I say yes again to your call on my life. Maybe others of you, your God moment is this. You've become kind of isolated. You've been busy with all sorts of other things. And so you're not making time to stay connected to the people who encourage you in God's calling on your life. And your God moment is to decide now, I'm not just going to get pulled a million directions. I'm going to choose to go in the highest priority directions. Are you a person who's spurring others on towards love and good deeds? I know so many of you are, but maybe some of you, you would say, no, I'm so wound up in myself, I don't really think about spurring others on. Are you encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching? And lastly, for some of you, maybe even all of us, your God moment is right now just to thank God for all the God moments he's given you in your life, all the way he's spoken to you, strengthened you, blessed you, provided for you, comforted you, walked with you through the ups and downs of life, all the times he's given you the faith to say yes when you didn't understand how it was all going to work out, and it felt scary at times, and yet you kept saying yes, and you saw God at work in your life. And now your life is made up of the product, like mine is, of saying yes to all these different God moments. And if that's your life, instead of you saying, well, look how great I am, I came up with this great plan for my life, maybe like me, you just need to say, God, thank you. Thank you for the God moments. Thank you for the courage and the faith you gave me to say yes to you. Thank you how you keep on growing me. Thank you that I can grow like Mary, where I can say, look, I don't even know what he's going to tell you, but whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Because I've got a long enough track record where I've seen the abundant blessing on the other side of my obedience. Don't miss your God moment, and your God moment right now might just be like mine is, to say, God, I thank you for all you've done, all the people you've brought into my life, all the ways you've led me. I don't deserve it, but your grace is abundant, and I say thank you even now.